And welcome to the Law Matters program for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio, coming to you from Boorloo, Perth, and broadcasting nationally through the National Indigenous Radio Service. And a big shout out to our listeners in Derby as well, listening through 6DBY, and Kununurra through Warringarri Media. Great to have you all on board during this NAIDOC Week 2025. I hope you're enjoying the week. The ball was on Saturday night in Perth. Perth was the host city for the first time in about 13 years, I think, which was absolutely fantastic. We'll congratulate the winners a little later in this program, but I hope you're enjoying your NAIDOC celebrations wherever you are around the country. So much happening on at community level, and a great time to get together for good times and just having a yarn and sharing in the celebrations of our culture. So happy 50th NAIDOC week to our listeners. Coming up on the program today, in the second half of the show, I'm going to be having a yarn with a lawyer from the Aboriginal Legal Service, Marilyn Bromberg. Works with the Custody Notification Service, a very important service that the Aboriginal Legal Service operates, a life-saving service, in fact, that, well, I won't tell you too much about it. I'll leave that to Marilyn, but that's coming up in the second half of the program. But before that, I'm going to be having a chat with Chloe Wood, who is the manager of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Civil and Human Rights Unit. Last week, the state coroner in Western Australia, Roslyn Fogliani, published her findings into the death of JC, an Aboriginal woman who was fatally shot by WA police officer Brent Windham on a suburban street in Geraldton on the 17th of September 2019. Absolutely horrific. We will find out what happened, what the inquest findings concluded, and the recommendations on how we can move forward and ensure that something like this never happens again. Let's have a listen to some music to start off, though. This is the young fella Isaiah and What Happened to Us.
I don't want to talk about it. Still a little too fresh. Feel like I've been walking around with all my worries on my back. Wish that we could just go back and find a way to do what's been undone. Oh, oh. I remember sitting next to you, singing stick with you, driving way too fast in your VW. And I, we ended way too soon. What happened to us? Summertime when I had you, remedies in the bedroom, yeah. Oh, what happened to us? It was closed eyes when I kissed you, getting high off your perfume, yeah. Oh, what happened to us? Do you ever think about me? Do you wanna confess? Do you ever walk around with our memory weighing on your chest? Could we ever just go back and find a way to do what's been undone? Oh, oh. I remember laying next to you, eating takeout for 3 days and nights in a downtown hotel room. We tried, but we ended way too soon. What happened to us?
Close eyes when I kissed you, getting high off your perfume.
What happened to us? That is Isaiah here on the Law Matters program, proudly brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, been on air most fortnights, dating back to 2010. So this is our 15th year on air, and great to bring you important information about the legal issues that are affecting our mob, not just in Perth or Western Australia, but throughout the country. Sadly, there is so many connections between mob, prison, overrepresentation, being targeted. It's a very sad state of affairs out there at the moment, and our next story is no exception to that. Recently, last week, the WA State Coroner, Roslyn Fogliani, published her findings into the death of JC, an Aboriginal woman who was fatally shot by WA police officer Brent Windham on a suburban street in Geraldton on the 17th of September 2019. Joining me in the studio to discuss this matter is Chloe Wood, who is the manager of the Aboriginal Legal Service in WA Civil and Human Rights Unit. Chloe, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thanks, Jodie. I'm well, thank you.
Inquests are never easy, and sadly, all of the inquests that the Aboriginal Legal Service deals with fall into your team at the ALS. Very sensitive work, and of course we're dealing with families who are just so up close and in tune with what's happened to a loved one. So our role is to get in there and do the legal side of things. In relation to Aboriginal woman JC, who was fatally shot in 2019, what has the Aboriginal Legal Services role been?
We represented the family of JC at the coronial inquest, specifically JC's sister, Bernadette Clark. And so our role in the coronial process is to support the family going through the process in the court and to represent the family's interests in the court, asking questions of the witnesses and putting submissions to the coroner on matters that are of importance to the family.
Can you give our listeners an overview of what happened with JC on that day in Geraldton?
It was a really tragic circumstance, Jodie, and really sad set of things that happened. But effectively, JC, who was 29 years old at the time, she was a young mother. She was walking through the streets in Geraldton with a knife, and people called in that there were concerns about a person being armed walking through the suburban streets. And it's apparent that JC at the time was having some mental health struggles, but at the time she was walking through the street, she was walking slowly, and she wasn't really posing any threat to anyone in the vicinity when she was approached by 8 police officers in the end, who attended the scene. And unfortunately, the officer, Brent Windham, left his vehicle, and within 17 seconds he shot JC and she died shortly after.
It is... I wish it was an isolated case in this country. It's not. It's absolutely tragic that a young mother has lost her life that way. This is going back nearly 6 years. The process doesn't work very quickly, does it? And while we've just had the inquest, there was other court proceedings that had to happen before, which would, you know, realise why it's taken that long now to have the inquest.
Yes, so the length of time for inquests is really difficult, especially for families who've been waiting a long time to get some further answers about what happened in the circumstances of their loved one's death. But in this circumstance, there were criminal proceedings against Officer Windham, and they had to be resolved before the matter could then go to the coroner. And then it was the coroner's opportunity to look further into the circumstances around the death, and in particular the role of the WA police and whether or not their policies and procedures and training were sufficient in this circumstance.
And what were the just refresh us, what were the findings into the investigation of police officer Brett Windham?
The coroner made a number of findings, so it's actually a really long set of findings. It's 90 pages long, so there was a number of things that the coroner looked at, and there were hearings over the course of 9 days, so it was a relatively significant inquest. The main findings that the coroner made were around missed opportunities on the day that could have de-escalated the situation further, and that included missed opportunities for the way that the police officers were trained, that they were not effectively trained in communicating with each other and in de-escalating the situation effectively to avoid this kind of situation.
So in the earlier charges before the inquest, what happened with Brent Windham, the police officer who fatally shot JC?
Officer Brent Windham was charged with murder in relation to JC's shooting, and the matter went to a full criminal trial and the jury acquitted Officer Windham of both murder and an alternative charge of manslaughter.
Do we know what he's doing now? No involvement with the force?
He has resigned from the WA Police Force, I think, earlier this year.
Okay. The state coroner last week said that she was satisfied that JC's death was preventable and made adverse findings against Officer Windham, as well as findings that the WA Police missed opportunities to effectively train the police officers who attended the incident which led to JC's death. Can you talk us through the process of sitting through an inquest? Because it's not just our legal team, it's family members who are mourning the loss of a loved one. What is the process when you're in the coroner's court?
It's really difficult to sit through, not just for the family members and the legal team, like you mentioned, but there are also broader community members at the inquest into JC's death. And there was a rally on one of the days that we were up in Geraldton as well. So it really impacts the entire community, these events like this. Sitting through the inquest can be quite difficult because you're listening to witnesses every day give their account of what happened, and also hearing any submissions from the different legal parties as to issues that they want the coroner to consider as well.
And, look, you know, our thoughts are going out to everyone in, you know, JC's community and her sister, Bernadette Clark, who said, you know, the police didn't do their duty on that day. They failed JC in so, so many ways. You would hope that there are some serious lessons to be learnt after this, hey?
I think there are absolutely some serious lessons to be learned, and the coroner's made it clear that there were a lot of issues with both the way the WA police more broadly and Officer Windham particularly approached the situation. And she's made a number of recommendations about how to improve things, both within the WA police force and also some recommendations which are more targeted at mental health services and health services to better support people who are experiencing mental health crises.
My guest is Chloe Wood, manager of the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Chloe, can you talk us through what the recommendations were?
The coroner made 9 recommendations in this inquest. I won't take you through them all, but there were some really important recommendations made around improving the relationship between the WA police and the Aboriginal community. And that included a recommendation that consideration be given to establishing a specific branch within the WA police committed to improving that relationship between Aboriginal people and the community more broadly, as well as recommendations around improving Aboriginal cultural awareness training, in particular, making sure that that training is delivered regularly, face-to-face, by Aboriginal elders, and that that training is region-specific as well, which is incredibly important. And the coroner then made another number of other recommendations, including that the WA police training policies and procedures be reviewed, and recommendations directed towards health services to ensure that they're providing strong support for people experiencing mental health crises, and also that support is appropriate and culturally secure and safe. So she really covered quite a lot of ground in her recommendations, which is good to see.
It is good to see. Wayne Nanup is the CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia, and he noted that JC was deeply loved by her sister Bernadette, who the ALS has worked very closely with for the last few years, and her family and her community, and her death at the hands of a police officer was an entirely preventable tragedy and has left JC's family and the Aboriginal community in Geraldton feeling completely distraught and profoundly angry. And in light of that, we did welcome the Aboriginal Legal Service did welcome and support the recommendations made by the state coroner. Wayne went on to say, however, it would be a cruel betrayal of the memory of JC for the state coroner's recommendations to sit on a shelf gathering dust. The need for urgent change cannot be ignored. It is incumbent on all who deal with people experiencing mental health emergencies, including police and healthcare services, to reform their practices in a culturally secure manner. The approach moving forward should focus on ensuring that those who are suffering from mental ill health are treated with dignity, respect and restraint, rather than cruel indifference and fatal violence. The recommendations should also be a catalyst for police to do the work to repair a broken relationship with Aboriginal people in WA, because the current approach, underpinned as it is by punitive and heartless policing practices, is an unmitigated failure and does the wider community no favours. Those comments were attributable to Wayne Lennup, Chief Executive of the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia. It's bizarre to think that here we are in 2025 and that lessons still haven't been learnt. The relationship between Aboriginal people and the police, there is still so much mistrust. And when things like this eventuate, you can understand why. It's not a situation that is, you know, specific to Western Australia. And of course, and I'll mention it later in the program, you know, the Northern Territory community suffering as well, you know, after the death of Kumanjai Walker. So there are so many of our community members suffering, and you just wonder, what is it going to take for there to be a change, you know?
You're right. There really needs to be a strong cultural shift in everything that the WA police does. And I think we really need to use circumstances like this to try and push for further change and reform in this space. And it's really important, like Wayne has said, that these recommendations don't go unfulfilled, that they are acted upon as soon as possible, and, you know, that the WA police does step up and take action to make sure that things like this just don't happen again.
How is the family travelling? How were they throughout the coroner's inquest? Was it a stressful time for everybody?
It was an incredibly stressful time for the family. It always is for the family of a loved one going through this process. As you mentioned before, often these processes take place some time after the person has died, so they're spending a lot of time waiting and getting to this point. And in JC's case, the family had already been through a long criminal trial and process as well. So it was incredibly difficult, but our client Bernadette is an incredibly strong and inspiring woman, and she did an amazing job, and she has been the strongest advocate for JC throughout this entire period. So it was really incredible working with somebody like Bernadette, and a privilege to all of us at ALS and our council as well to work with her.
She is a remarkable woman. I met her last year, and her strength and resilience at such a traumatic time, just an inspiration. When we're talking about an inquest, you're talking about all the witnesses and everyone who comes forward. What sort of caseloads are we talking of information that has to go through the coroner's hands to actually come to the outcome? Is it file upon file upon file?
Yeah, it is extensive files. We had an electronic file this time, so I couldn't tell you how much it all looked like in files, but we had hundreds of exhibits, witness statements, medical records, policy documents. That it is a huge amount of information that they get through within a coronial inquest, and that they're looking at as part of an inquest. So they're quite involved processes.
As well as the recommendations made by State Coroner Rosalind Fogliani, she also recommended continued funding of the Mental Health Co-Response, which provides crisis intervention support and care to people experiencing a mental health emergency. And we see so much mental health in our community, and I know that, you know, there are so many people doing it tough, living on the streets, couch surfing, and a large proportion of those are suffering from mental health disorders. So it's something that we really, well, the government departments really need to understand. When somebody walks through the door seeking your services or is in an interaction with the police, there must be that education around mental health.
Absolutely. And what the Mental Health Co-Response is trying to do as well is move away from police always being the first responders in situations where people are experiencing a mental health crisis, because really it should be trained mental health professionals who take on more of a role there and support the people without resorting to the need for police to have to intervene.
your involvement with this inquest, Chloe. Now that it's the file is closed on it, how are your viewpoints on how it's all gone?
Oh, look, I think that that overall this was a positive inquest with some really strong recommendations coming from the coroner's court that, as we said before, they really need to be acted on. But I would really like to see the police not only to act on those recommendations, but use this as a platform to improve their processes more broadly. So, for example, at the moment, we don't have any real independent oversight of police actions in WA. We have a system where police are investigating police when it comes to complaints about police conduct, and that needs to change. There needs to be more independent accountability for people who are experiencing challenges as a result of their interactions with police. So I would like to see that this inquest not only creates change directly from the recommendations, but contributes to a broader cultural shift in the way police try and manage these things. I don't know if that will happen, but I would like to see a trend in that direction at least.
Yeah, and we never ever want to see anything like this happen again. So our thoughts are with Bernadette Clark, JC's sister, JC's family and friends, community members who have all been deeply impacted by the passing of JC, and we refer to JC in that way for cultural reasons. So, yeah, look, our thoughts are with you all, and we hope that the outcome of the inquest into the death of JC has brought you a sense of being heard, at least, and nothing will take away the fact that you've lost a loved one, but we are thinking of you all. Chloe, is there anything that you wanted to add in closing about this matter?
I just wanted to echo your sentiments, Jodie, that our thoughts really are with the family of JC and her community. She was incredibly well-loved, and she is very much missed by the community and her family, and we hope that this inquest can give some sense of closure to the family and community, but we also recognise that a lot more work needs to be done to ensure these sorts of things don't happen again, and ALS is committed to trying to help the community in the best way we can to ensure that.
Okay, Chloe Wood, thanks for your time on the Law Matters program. Let's have some music. This is a WA band called Island, and Listen.
We are standing our ground. They can take our freedom away. Reunited. Oh yeah, we are one. We have the power.
Ground. They were murdered, shrewdly.
That is Southeast Desert Metal and Break the Silence here on the Law Matters program, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jody Hoffman with you this hour. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying your NAIDOC celebrations wherever you are around the country. And Perth was the host city this year, which was very exciting. And congratulations to all of our NAIDOC finalists and winners for 2025. The NAIDOC committee considered more than 200 nominations before selecting the exceptional finalists and winners for this year's award. The Lifetime Achievement Award went to Michael Long, Person of the Year, Dr. Daniel Hunt, Female Elder Award, Auntie Rosalie Kickett, Male Elder Award, Uncle Harry Philip Hall, Sportsperson Award, Miss Danielle Ponta, Youth Award, Anika Gosling, Creative Talent Award, Christine Arnoux, Caring for Country and Culture Award, Wadjimuk Project Steering Group, Education Award, Professor Eddie Cabillo, Innovation Award, Black Brews, and next year the host city will be Alice Springs. So exciting times ahead, and this year was the 50th year of honouring and elevating Indigenous voices, culture and resilience, and our theme for NAIDOC 2025, the next generation, strength, vision and legacy, celebrating not only the achievements of the past but the bright future ahead, empowered by the strength of our young leaders, the vision of our communities and the legacy of our ancestors. Let's have some music. This is Better Days featuring Samba the Great, Baker Boy and Dallas Woods. And when we come back, I'll be having a yarn with ALS lawyer Marilyn Bromberg. Do stay tuned.
No fairy tale when you live in hell. Trust me, that's a story I know very well. Bad weather, no umbrella, it gets better. Seen it with my own eyes, Money and job, you ain't got one. How you gon' raise my godson? Adoption, I know that's not an option. Your baby mama watching other girls and their husbands. They whip cribs and kids, that's how a family functions. We face obstacles, that's not cool, but you got to choose what's best for you. I see you trying to better yourself and trying to better your health. I see you getting closer every day.
That's just super understanding what the master plan. Ni nega ukuluwa trying to find another hand. I'm pushing through the storm, being better than I am. When I make a bigger stride, always trying to push me down. Man, I'm bigger than the image and the fans. Vision is precision, I can see right through the brands. See right through the smoke. Life is not a joke. When I finally drop my mask, my mirror, it almost broke.
I was told the storm would go away. Darkest times, I pray for better days. Ayo. Ayo. Live it up to sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are. Hey, baby. We're never gonna stop the rain.
Stressful, you know the drill. Getting told you gotta choose to feel. Lately, don't know how to feel. Don't know what's fake or real. So I get my mental straight. Write my problems to the pencil. Breaks therapeutic. If it puts me in a better place, I gotta do it. Instead of losing myself, I found music. Real talk, I've been down and out, and I'm back now. You can't count me out, I never back down. And that goes to anybody with problems. I get help, and maybe we can solve them. Nakunili dati ripple after go. Nito mato no more dream gap go. Magangara to na mayamar pulling what to mato no more courage go. Gotta keep pushing through, never stop. It's like every time I see the rain drop, life falling down your face in the same spot. If you're looking for love, it's what I got. Got enough to go around, giving up.
You say you got a lot of love, I can use a ton. And we can go together, we can be as one.
And I can take along, yeah, my no longer born. I can have to worry, you won't be alone.
I guess I'm coming too, cause if we preaching love and unity, I'm coming through. And is that cool with you?
Man, I got no issue, just know that I'm with you.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
We with you. Give it up to sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are. Hey, baby. We're never gonna stop the rain. Give it up to sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are. Hey, baby. We're never gonna stop the rain.
Yeah, Baker Boy and Alice Woods and Better Days here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Good to have your company. This is the Law Matters program brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And a welcome to my next guest on the program now, Associate Professor Em Bromberg. Em, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Happy NAIDOC Week. A big week of celebrations around the country, and host city Perth shone on Saturday night with the National Ball and NAIDOC Awards. A wonderful, wonderful night, and just a great gathering of people coming together. But enough of NAIDOC. And just talking with you now, you are an associate professor. Whereabouts do you that with?
So I'm at the University of Western Australia Law School.
Okay, and you're also a lawyer with the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia in the Custody Notification Service. Tell us about your ALS journey.
Sure. I've been fortunate to be at ALS CNS for three and a half years. So I've been a lawyer for about 15 years total. So I was admitted as a lawyer in May 2010. And over 3 years ago or so, I saw a job ad for the ALSWA CNS. And the second I saw it, I was so interested in the role, because the role involves essentially speaking to Aboriginal people who are in police custody. So there is legislation that requires police in WA. Any time that an Aboriginal person is in police custody, they must call the ALSWA CNS, and we give them, we do a welfare check, and we look into their well-being, things like, if they need medication or how they're feeling, whether they've got medical issues, and then we give them legal advice. So what attracted me to the role was the ability to really try and help Aboriginal people and try to make a difference. And the role has been incredibly rewarding over the years.
And, you know, the Custody Notification Service, or we call it the CNS, is something that our organisation advocated for so many years, and it is literally a life-saving service. And it is law here in Western Australia, as you said. It's a phone service that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year for Aboriginal people in WA who are detained by WA police in a police facility. And it is to prevent or reduce Aboriginal deaths in custody, prevent or reduce harm suffered by Aboriginal people in police custody, and to protect the legal rights of Aboriginal people in police custody. So it's such an important life-saving service, and it got up and running finally here in 2019, in October of 2019. So there's been no looking back since then, and you would know, being at the front line of taking some of those calls, how important it is, hey?
Oh, it's so important. And, it came about as well out of a recommendation in terms of how to prevent future deaths of Aboriginal people in custody. And the thing is that, every single phone call that I've been part of, every single call of this is so important, because, we really need to advocate for Aboriginal
people. Mm. Definitely. My guest is Associate Professor Em Bromberg. Em, as part of your role as a lawyer, but also a lecturer in law, what involvement, tell us about your insights into the law and its effect on Aboriginal people in this state, what you've seen, not from just a teaching perspective, but through the four walls of the Aboriginal Legal Service in terms of our mob and how they are over-policed and represented, and those many cases and complex matters that the ALS deals with.
Well, in terms of my observations over the last few years, I think that it's so important to inform Aboriginal people and people generally of their rights, because the thing is that the legal system is so complex, and the other thing as well is that it is very much like a Western legal system. It is a legal system that is very different from the Aboriginal people's legal system. So the Aboriginal people have their own, you know, their own legal system and their own way of looking at the law, which, you know, is, you know, that we should all respect tremendously. But we have a system in Australia of law that is very much kind of originated in the UK. It takes a Eurocentric approach. And it's really important to explain this legal system that and the rights that are available to Aboriginal people in a very culturally appropriate way. And so I feel that I've been very fortunate because ALSWA really puts a lot of attention in terms of training its staff to be sensitive to various cultural issues that are associated with giving legal advice to Aboriginal people. So, you know, as part of this role, all my clients are only Aboriginal people, and I feel very fortunate. And I really feel that ALS makes a difference in every call. But again, I think that a major issue is just being cognizant of this legal system that is you know, is Eurocentric and explaining the intricacies and also trying to liaise between Aboriginal people and the police, because the thing is that we as CNS lawyers are able to get a lot of information from the Aboriginal people, not just about their legal issues, but also health and welfare issues that we can convey to the police that the police might not otherwise know. So, for example, you might have a client who needs medication today urgently, and they might not feel comfortable speaking to the police about that themselves because of many reasons, including historical mistreatment of Aboriginal people by police. And so, therefore, we are able to share that information with the police to try to help our clients.
My guest is Associate Professor Em Bromberg. Em, you are an extremely busy woman, apart from your teaching and your work with the Custody Notification Service at the Aboriginal Legal Service. You're also very involved in writing, research, and I want to talk about some of the research that you've done of late, and also give people a bit of a sneak insight into a book that's happening too.
Sure, please. Thank you.
So would you like to talk to us about some of the research?
You bet. So one of my main areas of research is body image law. And, you know, if you haven't heard of it, that's understandable. It's kind of a niche area of law, but I think is a very important area of law. So what body image law involves is laws in various countries like France and Norway, and they require if an image was modified to make the model look thinner, it needs to have a disclaimer on it. And as well in France, for example, in addition to this disclaimer, it states that if someone wants to be a model, their health, they need to be healthy. So their health is taken into account. Otherwise, they're not allowed to model. They need to have a certificate from their doctor, which states that they are healthy and that they can model. And so the idea is behind this law is really to try to help improve body image and try to lower the number of eating disorders in existence, because the thing is that images of thin women are basically everywhere, and there's been quite a large body of compelling peer-reviewed research that has found that when someone sees an image of a model who's thin, that this can negatively impact them. You know, this could negatively impact their body image, and this could make them more susceptible to developing.
Okay. And I guess that's something that is across the universe affecting people. So you've been working on a book, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So I have been working on a book. So the book is going to be published this November. The book is called Body Image Law, Revolutionizing Images of Thin Ideal Women. And essentially, I look at these laws and I critique them. And the thing is that, you know, there are many issues or many challenges with these laws. So, for example, one of them is that there's been a lot of public health that has found that if you put a disclaimer on an image and say this image was modified to the model thinner, it actually is bad for body image. It's not good because then people tend to focus that base. So you have this body of law that essentially is supposed to help people, but if you look at the evidence, it actually will make things worse.
You've also done research on social media and the law and teaching law advocacy, advocacy and change, all very relevant topics, I think, when working with an organisation like the Aboriginal Legal Service.
Yeah, I do think it is relevant. Like, for example, there's a peer-reviewed journal article that of mine that's going to be published next month. Involving social media and the law and involving post and boast laws. So I'm not sure if you've heard of them, Jody, but essentially these laws will, if you boast about a crime on social media, then in some states you can get extra time in jail. So say an extra two years, for example, in some states. And I really argue against these laws because I think that we're just going to end up with more people in jail for longer periods, particularly young people. What should be done is prevention. So, you know, training people not to do these sort of things, teaching them not to do these things, but also having social media take down posts about crime. So putting the putting requirements and laws on social media as opposed to young people and punishing them and making them spend extra time in jail because of a post that they make online promoting crime or discussing crime.
All right. Really interesting to chat with you on Law Matters today, Em. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the book coming out later this year. And thanks for talking to us about the Custody Notification Service and some of the research that you're doing. And, it's all interesting stuff. So thank you for your time on the program today.
Thanks so much for the interview, Jody, and happy.
Yeah, thanks very much. That is Associate Professor Em Bromberg. Works with the Aboriginal Legal Service. God, we got a diversity of staff, I tell you what. Around 200 of us around the state of Western Australia working with the Aboriginal Legal Service. An amazing place to work with a history spanning 50 years, the same history as the National NAIDOC Week. Let us have a little Noongar language history segment, and I'll be back in a moment.
Kaya, kai nana not, kaya nana notet, nija buja, nala buja, nija buja windage, nija nalang dirt, nija nalang wankin. Don't you, yo? Ni ngan wankin.
It's time to bring back the language with Joe Collard.
Today we will look at hand, finger, and wrist. For hand, we say ma. Ma is your hand. Ma is spelled M-A-R-R. For finger, we say ma beer. Ma beer. So it's M-A-R-R, then it's B-I-R-R. Ma beer. For finger. For wrist, we say quarlin. Quarlin, we spell G-W-O-L-I-N-Y. Quarlin is your wrist. And that was today's lesson.
This has been brought to you by Brudia in partnership with Noongar Radio.
And this is the Law Matters program, almost out of time for this fortnight, but I did want to mention during this program that our thoughts are with the family and community members of Kumanjai Walker, a 19-year-old man who was shot by Mr. Rolf, during a failed arrest in Yuendamu in November 2019. Mr. Rolf was acquitted of murder and manslaughter in a Supreme Court trial in 2022. The Northern Territory Police admit that racism in the force needs to be confronted following damning coronial findings. The Northern Territory Acting Police Commissioner Martin Dole admitted that all forms of racism have existed within the Northern Territory Police Force, describing the findings of the Kumanjai Walker inquest as confronting and pledging to stamp it out of the organisation. His comments came after Coroner Elizabeth Armitage concluded Australia's longest-running coronial inquest by finding that former officer Zachary Rolfe is a racist and that the Northern Territory Police Force exhibited significant hallmarks of institutional racism. It's absolutely tragic, isn't it? So our thoughts are with all of the people who grieve the loss of that young man from 2019, Kumanjai Walker. We're thinking of you all. We are out of time. Thank you for joining us wherever you're listening around the country. And I know this program does get repeated. So for some of you, NAIDOC week was probably last week, but as it goes to air, it's this week. So happy NAIDOC celebrations. Let's hold our head high up and be very proud of who we are and what we've achieved. I'm going to take you out on this program today with Budjara and a song called Get Down. Take care. Thank you for your time.
It's too late to get down. 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 There's no way to leave now. Too high to reach out. Guess this will need now. Get down. It's too late.
Too late.